have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, August 5th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had some pressure on gold today, and of course, all due to the jobs report, which I had mentioned yesterday. We were going to see some big swings in either direction, depending if they were going to tell us the truth or tell us the lies. And I'd have to think we're more along those tell me sweet little lies about the job report. And so we did have pressure on gold today. Gold was down 24 at $13.37. We have silver down 65 cents at $19.76. Platinum was down 14 at $11.47. And palladium was down 9 at $699. The USDX today was, of course, higher, 0.46 at 96.23. Little pressure, 0.06. at 41.87. And of course, the markets did react on a positive note. The Dow was up 187 points at 18,539. The NASDAQ was up 54 at 52.21. The S&P up 18 at 21.82. 10-year yield popped 1.58%. And the euro dropped at 111, down 0.37. And everyone was all happy. I guess they all knew what was going to happen overseas before we did. They probably had the numbers because London, Germany, both Hong Kong, all went significantly higher overnight. But The employment jumped in July with renewed vigor, and payrolls climbed by 255,000 last month. And, of course, this did exceed all forecasts of the 89 economists that were surveyed. June, we had a 292,000 gain, and that was a bit larger than previously estimated. The jobless rate is holding steady at 4.9%. And there was also, mainly the gains with healthcare, manufacturing, temporary help agencies, leisure, hospitality. Government did tackle on 38,000 workers, and that was the most since September 2014. Now, the underemployment rate climbed to 9.7% in July from a 9.6%, as many of the people entering the workforce had to settle for part-time jobs. The number of people working part-time for economic reasons rose to 5.94 million from 5.84 million. Also, the number of discouraged Americans, those who stopped looking for work because of bleak prospects, rose to a five-month high of 591,000. So, you can view this many ways, Al. It's an election year. And are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It's an election year, and I think you're going to see these kind of numbers all the way through November. So
it'd be good for Hillary if they did.
Then exactly. And so, but also it puts pressure on the Fed. Means if these numbers continue, she will have to do a rate increase. But these numbers just go against how our economy is growing. I mean, the two don't, with these kind of numbers, our economy should be growing at least, 2.5%, 3%. And we got, 1.2?
Well, there's the other point. They talk about part-time workers. And part-time is now defined as, I think, anyone who's working less than 30 hours a week. So if that's correct, my understanding is 30 hours a week is now deemed to be full-time. It was just a couple of years ago, 40 hours a week was full-time. Now part-time is full-time, or at least 30 hours a week. I mean, one of the calculations that we should be looking at, and I don't have it in front of me, and I'm sure someone has this, I don't, is not how many workers we have in this country, but how many work hours we're putting in. If we have a nation where employment, the number of people being employed is rising, but the number of work hours is staying the same or even falling, that would explain a lot of what we see, the apparent contradictions between the unemployment rate and what seems to be happening in the economy. We're hiring two people, but they each work 20 hours a week. It counts as got two new jobs, but you're still only getting 40 hours altogether. This is confusing and hard to understand, especially for me, because I did not have the benefit of new math when I went to school back in the old days. They just taught you how the numbers added and subtracted, and it was not important whether they made you feel good about yourself. Now we have new math, and apparently it's taken over in our economic indicators. And the important thing is not what the numbers are, Melody. You don't have to worry about that.
How you feel.
They make the people feel good. That's what the mathematics and the economic indicators are all about. So we have new math and we have new economics,
They used to give him Prozac. I guess that's not the hot item anymore. So
no, they don't even give him Prozac. You just put fluoride in the drinking water and give them economic indicators. The economic indicators are digital. Doesn't actually cost anything. Prozac costs things. Costs. There's cost involved to Prozac. Economic indicators. They're almost free. Just spin them out of thin air. It's just like Federal Reserve notes. You just spin them out of thin air.
Well, then, I mean,
I wonder what's going to happen when we run out of thin air, Melody. Do you have any idea?
Well, this report, you know, also they talk about the wages were growing compared to the same time a year ago. They were grew 2.6% compared to 2.2% the same time a year ago. But if you looked at some of these jobs that were created, they were at the higher end where there's bigger wages. You know, it's not the middle America that's getting the jobs.
Yeah.
And so, and then the part-time jobs are going to the lower end of the spectrum. So there isn't anything in the middle. So again, that number for wages rising, yeah, well, let's look at the real reason why they're rising. It's not going to the middle class. It's going to, you know, the higher level, computer designs, engineers. So that's why you see that number growing. So again, it's just another distortion. The mining sector, they lost 6,000 jobs in July. Construction, manufacturing, they had little gains, not big gains, they had little gains. So again, and then you have to look at, well, how many of those numbers were truly fabricated out of, you know, that, you know, 200 and some thousand. I mean, how many of those numbers did they just increase because of the election? So you can't go 1 month, 1 month, 2 months ago, you had 11,000 jobs. I mean, 11,000. So how do you go from 11,000 jobs to 280,000, 90,000, and the next following month, 255? So again, it's just
Thanks to
lies,
the magnificent
lies,
management of our economy by the people in positions of power. I'm speaking about Barack Obama and Janet Yellen and the people they associate with. They we're well on our way back to a real recovery here, Melody. So you can vote Democrat. You can vote for Hillary when the election rolls around. As thank you, Hillary, for saving our economy.
But so again, it comes back to how many people out there really feel as though the economy is rising. I think we had some numbers, Al, on the people that are not in the labor force in July.
Yeah, we have. We've got an article from CNS News. Labor force participation is a rate of is the percentage of people in the civilian non-institutional population. Do you know what the non-institutional population is, Melody?
You explain it to us, Al.
That's the people who aren't in prison. Mm-hmm. We don't count them. They're working too. Well, many of them have jobs that pay them 15, 20 cents an hour. We don't count them. All right. 994,333,000 Americans were not in the labor force in July. That's pretty interesting. Now, that includes elderly who aren't working. It includes children who are too young to take jobs. But still, it's a third of the Americans, basically. Maybe not quite a third. 25% anyway. No more than that, close to 30%. Say 30% of the labor force, 30% of the American people do not have jobs in this country. 62% do. But again, 94 million unemployed. But they don't count as unemployed because these 94 million aren't looking for a job. So they don't. There's no unemployed among the 94 million. They have 7,770,000 who are unemployed. They don't have jobs, but they're looking for a job, and that's what makes them unemployed. Almost 8 million people unemployed because they are looking for jobs and haven't yet found one. Number of employed people increased by 420,000 to 151,517,000. So we have, now what's interesting about this, we have 151.5 million people who are working out of 320 million, and they are presumably supporting the 94.3 million who don't have jobs but aren't looking for work, and the 7.7 million who don't have jobs but are looking for jobs and are therefore unemployed, which means we have 151 million workers who are working to support 102 million who are not working. This is interesting to me because the total between the 151 million who are working and the 102 million who aren't working is 253 million, and the population is supposedly about 320 million, which suggests that we are, what, 320? What did I say that was? 253 million from 320. We're talking 60, 70 million people that somehow aren't even being counted in these numbers. When I was a kid in the 1950s and America was the strongest, wealthiest nation on earth, we had one person working for every two people who were not working. We had about 30%, 33% thereabouts of the population had jobs. Today we have about 62% of the people have jobs, at least according to government statistics. Is that cause for celebration? And the answer is no. When we had only 33% of the people had jobs back when I was a kid, the reason they only 33% or thereabouts had jobs is because we were prosperous. And one man made enough money to support two more people besides himself. It's the reason my mom could stay home and raise me and my sister. She didn't have to have a job. Today, thanks largely to increases in government in taxation, it's nothing like that. Today we have maybe one person working can only support about two-thirds of another person. The reason that employment has reached 62%, 63%, the reason it's done that is not evidence that, oh my gosh, thank you, Washington, thank you, Congress, you've created more jobs for us. No, they've created more poverty. They have forced more and more people to go to work in order to get out from under. We could afford. One man made enough money because the tax rate back when I was a kid, total tax burden on my dad was about 15% of his gross income when you tell after state, local, and federal taxes. Today, and I don't even know what the tax burden is today. I know what it was a decade ago. It was about 55%. Of an average man's income goes to government in the form of local taxes, state taxes, federal taxes, hidden taxes. You're paying over half your income to support this government. And the reason we do that is because, well, of course, government has to pay its help double, at least at the federal level. They reportedly receive about double what they could expect to get if they were doing the same job in the private sector. And, of course, we have to give them a pension. After 20 years, the rest of the poor slobs in this country can work until they're 65 before they get to retire. They have to put in 45 years or thereabouts. Government, maybe not. Maybe you can get by with just 20 years and then retire. And when you do retire, you get far more than you would get out of Social Security. And where do we get this extra money to give generous pensions and generous paychecks to government? We get it by taxing people who actually work for a living, who actually make a productive contribution to society. And the net result is the average man can't afford to have a large family. His wife has to work currently in order to make up the difference. Again, one man could support two people when I was a kid. Today, one man can't. Government takes over half of his income. He doesn't have enough money left over to support both a wife and a child. Result, mom has to work. They'll tell you, you've come a long way, baby. All right? You are liberated. That you get the job. You get a job now, you see, and that means you're liberated. No, it doesn't. It means you are now impoverished. It means our incomes, our standard of living, our prosperity is falling, and the reason it's doing is because we have an ever-growing government that taxes us and taxes us and taxes us into austerity. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we haven't talked about the Zika virus that you get from mosquitoes. And there was a headline today, the FDA just greenlight releasing mutant Zika killing mosquitoes in Florida, in the Florida Keys. The FDA released a final environmental assessment of the trial, finding that it, in quotations, will not have significant impacts on the environment. Might have some impacts, but not significant. Forget the people. You know, are people included in on the environment? Is people part of that environment? The project led by Oxitec, a biotech company that focuses on insect control, calls for the release of thousands of genetically engineered male gypti mosquitoes. The lab insects are bred so that over time they could kill off much of the local mosquito population by passing on a gene fatal to any offspring that have with wild females. So, you know, it's just like,
sounds
to me crazy.
Like, sounds like a government program to encourage illicit behavior, immoral behavior among the wild mosquitoes and the GMO mosquitoes.
Well, you know, I mean, there was a neighborhood, and I had wanted to talk about this for about a week or so. There was one neighborhood in Florida where they detected, you know, one person having the virus.
Yeah.
And they actually, I don't know if it was the CDC, I'm assuming it was, or the local CDC or health department, they went door to door to gather urine samples.
Oh, there's a good job.
And well, no, it's not that. I mean, I would definitely say no. I mean, I don't know. I just found that disturbing, not just because they were collecting urine samples, but that the fact that they were even knocking on people's doors requesting this. I mean,
they just come up to the door and say, here, pee in this cup.
I mean, that wasn't the, I mean, we talk about, I mean, what if you didn't? What would they do with you? Arrest you?
I don't know. They might just hold you down and squeeze your bladder until you involuntarily cooperate.
I mean, we can make all kinds of jokes about it, Al, but I thought it very disturbing that they could go neighborhood, door to door, knocking on people and requesting something like this. Next, it will be blood.
Well, you know what else
next
it is.
Next, it will be blood tests.
Oh, I don't.
Then they'll be, you know, with that, they'll be running your DNA to find out. They can come up with one little easy-peasy excuse to fear people, thinking that they're going to get this virus and everything, and they're going to die from it, so they're going to have to give up either something that they, you know, so that they can run
DNA. I think they're giving up their DNA. I don't know. I'm not a biologist, but I'm going to assume that your DNA can be picked up out of from your urine, and they can get, where do you live? If you live at 44 South Oak Street, DNA there includes, you know, we can correlate your DNA to your address and blah, blah, blah. We've got a caller, Wayne from Texas, who has comment he'd like to add on, I believe, on Zika, on the mosquitoes. Is that true, Wayne?
I'm not doing any walking at night, that's for sure, in the Dallas area. So staying out of their way, that's for sure.
You believe that the mosquitoes are a legitimate threat, and you're trying to avoid them as much as possible.
Nothing would surprise me, Al.
Well, it's one of those things where I've heard about the Zika threat. I think it's been several months since they first started warning about this. It might be five or six. I'm not sure, but we heard, oh my gosh, the Zika's coming. I don't know. We haven't had much of a response. It's kind of like the swine flu back 15, 20 years ago. We all better get vaccinated for the swine flu or the bird flu, whichever one it was, and then it didn't show up. I'm curious whether Zika, is this a real threat? Is this an artificial threat, exaggerated intentionally or by accident, or is it really a serious threat? Do you have any idea, Wade?
Well, that's not really the reason why I was calling, but just to let you know, I've heard about some cases in Florida already, but who knows how this reported.
I've heard some up in Missouri.
Yep.
A handful of people up in Missouri have allegedly got into it. All right, what was it that you wanted to talk about?
Well, the reason I was calling was these job figures, they're driving me crazy every month. And I think we're in just the middle of a massive con job over what we're hearing from the Department of Labor and everything else. But the way the politicians and media spin it, that's for sure. And what I try to look at is both sides of the equation here when these figures are brought out, because we're just hearing one part of the story about what jobs have been created. So in July, we hear all this great hoopla about 255,000 jobs created, but nobody bothers to look at the unemployment filers, the first-time unemployment filers for the same month. If you go to the departmentoflabor.gov, for July, it was 1.3 million people filed for unemployment for the first time. So that's a factor of about five times the number of jobs created, but nobody's talking about that. And I assume if you file for unemployment, you've lost your job. And I really don't believe those are net figures.
It depends. That's kind of an optional thing. The way the government operates it, I'm not sure if that's absolutely true or not. There's certainly room for fraud. It's committed by presidents, congressmen. Why not, ordinary people claim welfare while you're still working?
The fact is, though, if, five times the number of people have lost their jobs over what was created, the unemployment figure cannot stay at 4.8%, you know. In June, 280,000 some jobs created, over 1 million people filed for first-time unemployment. So, you know, every month it's the same crap, you know. And this takes the term voodoo economics to a new level. I call it voodoo economics Kenyan style, for that matter, because it's just crazy that this can even be
the Democratic. I saw a recent report describing it, talking about Barack Obama, and in parentheses after his name, they had a D for Democrat, and then Kenya. He was the Democratic candidate from Kenya. I thought that was clever. But, yeah. You know, what we're talking about, at least in part, certainly massive fraud, certainly massive deception. The whole thing is designed to maintain public confidence, which is significantly unwarranted. But everybody's got to put on a happy face, and yet, because we had this report said, hooray, we created 255,000 new jobs, price of gold fell $24 today. It implies that when people wake up, and they probably will over the course of the next couple of days, they're going to realize, wait a second, this is a joke. And when they do this, maybe I really do need some gold. I mean, we can expect it's going to go back up next week as soon as we get the silliness out of our system. But it is evidence that people accept. I don't even know if, does anyone believe these numbers, Wayne? Or do we just believe the rest of the idiots are going to sell their gold, so the price is going down, so I better sell mine too right now? I mean, well, does anyone really believe that the employment numbers can we have, are they valid basis for confidence? Or are they just, look, the government said they created 255,000 jobs. That means all the morons are going to go sell their gold.
Well, again, these are the same people that tell us there's only 11 million illegals in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true, but only if you count Texas and California. But, yes. You know, obviously there's 40 to 50 million. But that brings up another subject here that you may, you know, want to delve into sometime. You know, you do have a lot of illegals here, and in some states they have the ability to vote. And if you marry this concept with the fact that there's a 1981 court case, it was over voter intimidation, whereby the Republican Party cannot go into minority districts and demand recounts. And quite possibly, Obama won the election in 2012 in places like Cleveland and Philadelphia because the numbers were so skewed, it was unbelievable. I mean, I'm talking about mathematical equations that just don't make any sense. For example, there were like about 40 precincts where Obama averaged between 400 and 500 votes, and Romney got exactly 4 in about 40 of them. And so what this means is there's a wide avenue here for massive vote fraud that the Republican Party cannot even go in and contest in places like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Detroit, you know, places that are battleground states.
I understand. Now, when we talk about massive vote fraud, I agree that it's large and significant. It's significant, but by itself, can it throw an election that isn't close in the first place? For example, if Trump beats Hillary by 15% in a legitimate vote count, can they defraud, can they cause enough voter fraud where Hillary can overcome a legitimate 10%, 15%? I can see that the vote fraud can swing the election if the election is close. But what about if someone has real dominance? Do you think the election can still be rigged?
Well, I think right now you can see the media nationally keeps repeating the phrase, it's going to be a close election, going to be a close election. And I guarantee you Hillary's so-called lead is not as big as they say it is. I mean, they're just massaging figures and all that. But what I'm saying is I think in the case of a very close election, assuming the numbers are even, you know, viable anyway, I think this 1981 court case, which I don't know if you've ever researched it, Al, but it's pretty fascinating.
No, I've never even heard of it before. I'd never even heard of that court case before, which is not, you know, not necessarily surprising. But
sure. But if you or anyone wants to, you can search 1981 voter intimidation case, Republican Party in New Jersey. And they signed a consent decree to whereby they would not challenge these vote totals, okay? And what happens, I think, the judge that ruled on it comes out of retirement every year to roll this thing over. And Rince Priebus, the guy who heads the Republican Party, has, for a fact, been in front of different courts arguing this thing should be done and over with, but they keep turning it over. So, again, there's a lot in there if you come across the articles. So,
well, there really is a lot in there, because one of the things that we have that we take for granted is that 98% of the black population is going to vote Democrat every year. Now, I don't know if it's 98% or 93%. I don't know. But it's going to be predominantly voting Democrats. It's just taken for granted the blacks are always going to vote Democrats. Even the blacks have to take it for granted that they're always going to vote Democrat. What would they say if it turned out the real numbers indicated, say, it was only 70% blacks vote Democrat? Do you think these numbers are not just intended to swing elections, but could they also be just to deceive blacks into believing the only election, the only thing they can do politically is to support Democrats? Do you catch my point on this?
Sure. And I think, you know, again, there a lot of blacks in general have moved into the middle class where they're out there slugging away every day, too. They're not getting any welfare. They're kind of in the same boat a lot of us are. And I think they see through a lot of the nonsense that the Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons throw out there.
But they're not living in these districts where the Republicans can't enter. They're moving off into a middle class neighborhood, which is probably not predominantly black. I'm guessing that. Do you agree with that?
They also
or disagree?
Have family members still in there. You know that they family members, church. You know, church attendees they go to church with and all that. So I still think they have some influence too. But I just think it's something that really needs to be publicized, because the Republican Party, if they want to have a chance, I think they need to really address the vote fraud issue. And I think Trump has too in some of his recent speeches where he thinks it's rigged. Well, this is part of the rigging.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. We've heard people, I can't remember who wrote the book on vote fraud, probably back in the 1990s, two brothers, if I recall correctly, wrote a significant, a lot of people bought the book. They thought it was real. I thought it was real, but I thought it was exaggerated. I don't think vote fraud is predominant in this country in the sense that the whole election is rigged. I think it's influenced. Right? It can be thrown in a close election. You can throw it one way or the other. If the election is not close, you can't. And part of the reason I say that is because I watch the politicians who run for the presidency, for example, or for Congress or for the Senate. These people bust their hump to get elected, all right? They will commit crimes. They will commit fraud. They'll do a whole bunch of things to try to get into office. They would not make – you and I can wonder how much vote fraud there is, but anyone running for president has to know. And if you know the election is fixed, if you know it's rigged and you're going to lose, why go out there and bust your hump talking to everybody and traveling around the country? Why not just cool your heels, get yourself a mojito or whatever, sit down at the beach and watch the sunrise or the sunset? They wouldn't make that extraordinary effort, in some instances almost killing themselves, to try to get elected president if they thought game was already rigged and they were chosen to lose. Follow?
Yeah, and number one, I think that book was called Vote Scam by the Collier
Brothers.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think I remember correctly, but if you notice, you know, during the preliminaries when Trump was going against all the other Republican challengers, yeah, that was all about trying to gain the candidacy for the party. He didn't start talking about the election being rigged until after the fact. I think the more he's gotten into this, I think some things have become very apparent to him that were
apparent
years ago.
Well, he's seen that Hillary essentially stole at least California from Bernie Sanders and maybe thereby stole the whole election. So he knows, he has reason to know that vote fraud has taken place in the Democratic primary. He can bet that it's going to take place in the general election. We have to take a break right now for some commercials. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom, and our guest Wayne has called in from Dallas, Texas. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, let's see if Wayne has anything else he'd like to add to the program before I do the special.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely get off. I've taken up enough of your time. But, Al, if you do want to search for that, there's a site called fellowshipoftheminds.com, and
okay.
This guy did a write-up on it. So, but it's the entitled, Why the GOP Won't Challenge Vote Fraud. So.
Wayne, do I know you? Have we met before?
I think we've crossed paths. We know a lot of people that went to similar
meetings. It sounds, if you're in the Dallas area, it sounds like we must you must know some people I know or whatever. But I don't know. I don't recognize your voice. I was just curious if we'd met in the past.
I was next to you at a meeting down in Dallas, so probably about a year ago.
Okay.
So,
all right, Wayne.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
All right.
Melody, tell us about the special.
I always enjoy when Wayne calls. He's a great caller, so perhaps he can do so more often. We always enjoy having him. I just wanted to remind the listeners that the special I've been running all week long was the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles and 20 of the American Silver Eagles. There's a $22 savings today, $600. And $20 is the price for that package. It includes your shipping costs all week long. We were running it for $642, so a $22 savings. And I do believe we're going to see a reversal in gold next week. I think reality is going to strike. People are going to begin to talk like we are talking, and I think gold will come back. Will it come back the 24? Yeah, I do believe so. Will it come back Monday? Don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But, the fundamentals for gold are there. So this great little package, 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20 American Silver Eagles, includes shipping, $620. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, when Wayne first called in, he talked about the unemployment. We have to remember that the official unemployment rate they use is the U6. There are six different classifications of unemployment. And if you
official
actually,
is U6 or is it U3?
U3 is the official unemployment rate. If you use U6, we're looking at about a 10% unemployment rate. And if you use, I saw a number for, I believe it was Gallup, which is equivalent to U6, that's 12.13% unemployment. So, you know, I don't know why they make the U3 the official unemployment rate. It's the
because they cater to people who can't count higher than three.
That's true. That's very true.
They're the ones that believe this. Oh, look.
So the real unemployment rate, yes, is much higher, anywhere from 10 to 12%. And I've even seen predictions that it's really 20%.
I
think John Williams predicts. I think he says it's above 20%. But.
I think he was up close to 23%. I don't know where he sits right now, where his predictions are right now, but I have more confidence in John Williams than I do in the federal government.
Absolutely.
I don't know that the real inflation rate, or excuse me, unemployment rate is really up at 23%, but I'll bet it's closer to that than it is to 4 or 5. You know, this is part of the problem we talk about on the program from time to time. If we could get honest numbers out of the government, we would be a lot better off. Yes, we would tend to have, we would tend to lose confidence in the system if we dealt, if we, at least we would have momentary declines in confidence. But that isn't necessarily a bad thing. We have to deal with reality. It's not just a question of put on a happy face and everything's going to be all right. We can't deal with a problem unless we diagnose the problem. I mean, a diagnosis is the first step to solving any problem, is giving an accurate diagnosis. What is the problem? We can help solve this. You and I and the people in this country, we can help solve the problem if the government would give us straight information on what the problem is. But they don't. They want to maintain our confidence. They want to maintain our optimism. And even though we may be headed dead ahead for an iceberg, you're on the SS Titanic, they're still saying, oh, no, it's all under control. We got this. You know, it's all. Hey, how about cutting us in on the truth of the matter? Because we're not just a bunch of children who will panic at the first time, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. No, it's not falling. Might be bending a little bit, but it's not falling. It's not, the sky itself is not going to fall. We can help on this, and even if we have to endure some peculiar declines from time to time, as we face the truth, we will be better off, because if we don't, one of these days we're going to get the truth in one big, sudden dose, and nobody is going to like it, and everybody's, oh, my gosh, how could this have happened? It happened because we've been lied to and lied to and lied to, and the lies just built up like snow, creating an avalanche, ultimately breaking loose in the form of an avalanche. Tell us where the snow is. We can deal with this, all right? We're not children. Good God. You know? So in any case, something should be done where government is made to tell the truth. I saw a court case just recently. It goes back, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Someone sued a congressman for lying when he ran for public office. The guy said he was going to do this, that, or the other. And he got into office, and he didn't do any of it. And the Supreme Court ultimately ruled, oh, don't be stupid. You can't expect politicians to tell the truth. I disagree with that. I think politicians should be liable for what they promise. Now, I don't mean that a politician who promises that he's going to put a chicken in every pot and a Cadillac in every garage, even if he intends to do that, if he's sincere, it doesn't mean he's going to succeed. There's other politicians up there, and the fact that you might be working for one particular objective doesn't mean you'll necessarily get it unless you get 51% of the rest of them to go along with your idea. But if you tell people, I'm going to fight for this, then you had better fight for that, all right? You might not win, but you'd better fight. Somewhere or another, they have to be held accountable, and I don't think it's – I think it would be a good thing if they could be sued for essentially lying No more, you know, read my lips, no more taxes. And as soon as Bush got in, there were more taxes.
Yeah, but you know, Al, I can remember as a little girl, I can remember adults saying, you know, they accepted that the politicians lied. I mean, it was just part of our culture. And it was a little chuckle, you know, yeah, it's a politician, tee-hee, they lie. We know they do, so. And it's just, everyone just accepts it.
I know everyone does, but I'm
just
saying.
We've been conditioned to accept it.
And well, I think they accept it around the world.
Yeah,
I wonder if you can point to a government that doesn't lie to the people. But it doesn't mean, just because this is a common problem, it doesn't, even if it's human nature, right? It doesn't mean that you can just sit back and say, well, I accept it because it's human nature. That's just the way we're built. We're built to lie, so what the heck? Let's tell lies. Now, somebody's got to stand up and say something. Somebody's got to tell the truth.
I don't think it's human nature that we accept those lies. It's just something
that
we were conditioned. It's something that people were conditioned to believe. And I think as the world has gotten bigger and bigger and more corrupt, it's a little bit more out in front. I mean, you know, so, and I don't think people are sitting back anymore and accepting it. You know, and I think these are, you know, some of the, You know. Hopefully, this is.
Oh, maybe we just had. Maybe we have finally had enough
around the world.
And to some extent, that goes to the Trump campaign.
And as long as we're on a fiat currency, then there will be corruption in governments. I mean, taking us off the gold standard—that was like writing them, giving them the okay to. The corruption that they've...
Well, they have to tell us that you can take a debt instrument and treat it as an asset. That you can take a debt-based currency and use it to replace an asset-based money. And there'll be no problem. This is brilliant. These are, you know, they had discovered the money tree and the rest of that sort of thing. No, they haven't. It's just another con. It is it's an extraordinary Ponzi scheme that is currently taking place on a global basis. And
which
sooner or later,
them,
it's going to break down.
Which has allowed these governments to grow and grow, and the corruption to grow.
I agree.
So
I agree. And that's part of the reason, oh, this is cool. Government is growing. Anything that grows the government is deemed by government to be good, great, wonderful. The problem is the government is growing based on these lies.
So these
and these lies go, we have a national debt, they admit to $20 trillion. John Williams says it's $100 trillion. Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff says it's actually $200 trillion. And the lie behind all of it is that government can pay that debt. It can't. The debt will never be paid. Every time the government goes out, says, oh, we'll borrow some more money. You're lying. The government is lying. Every time, oh, yes, you can trust them. We'll repay that, sure. You can lend money to us. No, you can't. They're the biggest liars in the world. And somewhere along the line, if we could force the government to tell the truth and we eliminated these lies, a lot of people say, oh, it wouldn't be as much fun. It wouldn't be as exciting. A lot of things would happen. I'll tell you what else wouldn't happen. You wouldn't see people's pensions looted. You wouldn't see Social Security destroyed. All right? If government was forced to tell the truth, we would have some bumps in the road. But we would also have some corrections, and there would be an opportunity for people to behave in a way that was practical, realistic, objective, all right? Hard-nosed, maybe, but we would deal with the truth, and we would know, all right, I'm going to retire, and when I do, can I expect $1,100 a month, or can I expect $300 a month? Government says, oh, you'll get $1,200 a month out of Social Security. Well, maybe yes, maybe not. But the truth may be that you're going to be lucky to get 300, although we're talking several years down the line. If we had real numbers, we could see that coming and we could prepare ourselves. It's precisely because we've been lied to and lied to and lied to that we're in large measure unprepared. We have this stupid idea that the government's got it all under control and the government will take care of us and watch and see. The people who believe that are going to be abandoned, and they are going to be in big trouble. And it flows from lies. Let's see if we can make government tell the truth. I know it's. I feel like Don Quixote. I should give out a couple of choruses to live the impossible dream. to fight the unbeatable foe. Let's make the government tell the truth. You know, there's an impossible dream, I suppose, but a dream nevertheless. And Trump is a response to that. His candidacy is a response to that. People gravitated to Trump because, right or wrong, whatever Trump, I get the impression he's not lying to us. Or at least, that's the way this campaign started out. Trump said something. If he felt something, he said it. He might be wrong. He might be crazy. But at least he tried to tell people the truth, and I think that's what people responded to. Maybe we've had enough of the lies, Melody. Maybe it's time for, I don't know, people to run for public office who will actually tell the truth, even if it's unpleasant, even if it costs them their political career. How about that? And the politicians say, no, baby, this thing is too cushy a job. I'm not giving this up just to tell the public the truth. If I need to lie to hang on to my job, that's the way this system is built. And it cannot end well. You got to admit, it's worked decently for maybe a couple generations. But we are coming to a point where we will not be able to afford the lies. We will be forced to deal with the truth. And when that happens, there's going to be a bunch of people screaming, oh, my gosh, what happened to all those lies? What happened to all those sweet lies, Melody?
Sweet lies.
Yeah. I got one more here before we can touch on before we've got a minute and a half before the program's over. One of your favorites is digital money. We got a couple articles from the Hacker News. They have a magazine called the Hacker News. Right? This is a good publication. Right?
Sure it is.
Yeah, it is. It really is a good publication. I'm sure those people who want to be hackers, they're reading it. But people who want to know what's going on, they're reading it too. It's actually a good publication. It says, this ATM hack allows crooks to steal money from chip and PIN cards. We've been told that EMV, Europay, MasterCard, and Visa chip-equipped cards provides an extra layer of security that makes these cards more secure and harder to clone than the old magnetic stripe cards. But it turns out this is just a myth. It took researchers just a simple chip and PIN hack to withdraw up to $50,000 in cash from an ATM in America in under 15 minutes. All right? The point to this, and there's another, we're not going to have time to do all of this, but there's another article that deals with the same idea. The point to it is if you're talking about the internet and if you're talking about digital currency, it is not secure. And it can't be secure. It's not going to be secure. And if you want to secure your wealth, the point to these stories is you're going to have to look for something tangible that can't be robbed by somebody with a computer. And at this time, we're talking about gold and silver. We'll have to talk more about gold and silver next Monday. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer, and Wayne from Texas. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money.